And so I really don't identify as a Republican or a Democrat. I certainly don't identify as a Democrat, but I don't identify as a Republican either. I'm a constitutional conservative, and I'm for a person who will uphold the Constitution. But before I'm any of that, and I want to make that clear, and I don't think it's wrong to discuss these things. Some people just get all nervous when you start discussing politics. I don't get nervous when you discuss politics. I don't get nervous when you discuss religion. I don't get nervous when you discuss sex, as long as it's discussed in a biblical light, you see. So don't let anybody lie to you and say, oh, well, those three areas are taboo. Well, I've never read that in here. I've never read that in here. As a matter of fact, I read a lot of on those subjects in here. And so we need to not listen to the lies, and we need to understand that God wants us to be very vocal and be out there to help people. Now, we're not in this to win debates. We're not in it to win debates and to shout people down and to win an argument. I want to inform people, and I want to listen to people. I try to listen. Some people are hard to listen to. They're hard on your ears. They are. But sometimes before you can help someone, you do have to listen to them. And then you can maybe guide them into some truth. And I think the truth all comes back to this book right here. And so don't be ashamed to discuss politics. Don't be intimidated to do that. Well, you know, as a Christian, you ought not do that. No, as a Christian, you're the one that should be doing that. And so we need to keep that in mind. All right? All right, I want to talk to you about prayer. I want to give you some thoughts on prayer, and then we'll share some more prayer requests and give you an opportunity to do so, and we'll have some others to pray in our service tonight. In Ephesians chapter number 3, we're talking about prayer. We're in chapter number 1, but we're going to chapter number 3, and I want to talk to you about that. Intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. When you have your Bible open to Ephesians 3, I want you to hold your place there and turn back to Ephesians 1, and I want to remind you of something that's very important. Very important. Now, there are 4 prayers of the Apostle Paul that's recorded in his, what's called Pauline, or the epistles of Paul. All right, they're in the Colossians 1, Philippians 1, Ephesians 1, and then the one that we're going to begin to look at in detail tonight is Ephesians chapter 3. Now, Paul's writing on doctrine is phenomenal. Now, I know the Spirit of God uses people. He moved on them. But God used Paul's mind. He uses his study. He used his knowledge to write what he wrote. And it's just the doctrinal teachings of the Apostle Paul really has a lot to do, as the Spirit of God moved on the Apostle Paul, has a lot to do with the way we're conducting our church service tonight, and that we will, again, Saturday, as we go out and we witness to people and we share the gospel with people. If you gave to missions this past week, all of these things are found in the epistles that the Spirit of God moved on Paul to write to set up the doctrinal position and the way that the business of the church is to be done. I would say, with all of that, I don't know that there's any more lofty language outside the Lord Jesus himself than the prayers of the Apostle Paul. When I read these prayers, brethren, it is just something. And I want to share some things with you, because I think that we get inside the heart of the Apostle Paul. You know, when a man prays, when a person prays, it's like God will allow you to get a peek inside of their heart. Because when a man is bearing his soul to God, he's bearing his heart to man. And it just tells you some things about him. And so as I look at Ephesians chapter 1, I see where the Apostle Paul, he mentioned there was this one overriding, and we just kept going back to it in Ephesians 1. And Paul said, listen, he said, and look at verse 18 in Ephesians chapter 1. He said, the eyes of your understanding, and that just that phrase in itself, I pray that it would stick with you and that you'll just think on it and you'll meditate on it. You are a spiritual being and you have spiritual eyes. You have spiritual ears. Jesus oftentimes said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We need to be listening, not to the outside voices, not to the noise of the world, but to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be looking with us, the eyes of our understanding. Notice what he put here in verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You see, that is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. No man can enlighten the eyes of your spirit, of your understanding. No man can remove the scales and open your eyes to things that God wants you to see in another realm. I'm talking to you in this moment about the realm of the supernatural. It's very real. And we live in a day when the supernatural, people are very ignorant to the supernatural. What little the world does with the supernatural is usually built around tarot cards and psychic readings and palm readers and sorceries. Now, it's very real. It's very real, but it's the dark side of the spiritual. I told you some time ago when I was preaching on the enemy on Sunday mornings about the devil that when somebody uses the word spiritual, don't just automatically assume that's a positive connotation. Don't just assume because someone says the word, he's spiritual, that means he's a good man or that that's a good thing. Can I tell you the devil is spiritual? Yes. There's principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. That's spiritual. Paul even went on to say in Ephesians 6, spiritual wickedness in high places. And so don't just assume when that word spiritual is used that it's attached to the church or good or righteousness or the Bible. Most of the time in our world today when that word is used, it's not attached to any of those things I just mentioned. It's attached to the dark side, to the dark world, to the darkness of the enemy. When Paul wrote here, as God moved on him, he said, I'm praying that God would open your eyes to some things. It's very similar, and I think I may have pointed this out when we went through this prayer. When Elisha was on the mount and the enemy was coming to surround him, and then God sent chariots of fire. And his servant didn't see them. He saw the enemy. And he prayed, God, open his eyes. Well, he had his eyes open because he saw the enemy. But what he was praying is, God, open his spiritual eyes that he can see the ally into the spiritual world. And God did open his eyes. And see, this is what Paul was praying, that the eyes of your understanding. He's writing to who? Well, if you go back in chapter 1 and you look at verse number 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints. To the saints. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to the redeemed. And when you begin to read chapter 2, you'll find that Paul just really goes into detail and says, you know, you were once this by nature, but now you're this by grace. Amen? That's what Paul's talking about. Now, I say that because I'm going to allude to that when we get to chapter 3 in just a moment. Look in chapter 2 just for a moment. If you look at chapter 2, he says, in verse number 2, wherein in time past, he said, you walked according to the course of this world. And then he mentioned verse number 13, but now, you see. Chapter 2, verse 13, but now. So he said, you know, you once were this, but now you're this. See, that's what Paul wants you to see. And when you go back to chapter 1, verse 18, he said, I'm praying that God will open your eyes to what you are, to really who you are. I think sometimes we as Christians, we really don't realize what we have. The spiritual resources. And again, I call your attention to chapter 1, where Paul said in verse number 3, blessed be God, of chapter 1 of Ephesians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Can I tell you, God's given me and God's given you as a Christian every resource we need to live the victorious Christian life. You do not have to be defeated. You do not have to drag around in life under the cloudy spirit of doubt and dismay. God has given us everything we need to live the victorious Christian life. Every resource I need in my Christian life has been provided by my Savior. And that's what Paul said in chapter 1, verse 18. He said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, now watch this, that you may know. Now that's the key. See, it's been done. It's been done. But there's a lot of Christians who don't know it. It would be like somebody dying, one of your family members, and I'm going to bring it to a material position. I'm going to take a spiritual truth and I'm going to transition it to a physical position. It would be like someone dying in your life and making you the heir of their estate and putting all of that money into your name and you not knowing it, so you're never drawing from the resources of what's been given to you. Wouldn't that be terrible? For you to get down to the... And by the way, I just read a story about 3 months ago about a woman who did this. Now, this is not the first time this happened, all right? This woman was out on the road just begging for food and money. And come to find out, this woman had multi-thousands, if not millions of dollars from money that was being put into her account, but she didn't know it. She didn't know it until she passed and her family found out about it. It'd be a terrible way to go through life and not draw from the resources that has been given to you, materially speaking. But can I tell you that spiritually speaking, it would be more terrible? Much more. And so Paul said, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you believers in Ephesus. I'm praying for you Christians. I want God to open your eyes like he opened my eyes, Paul said, and showed me all the spiritual resources that are available to me. Listen, you couldn't get this man down. Put him in a prison and he'll sing and pray. Isn't that what happened in Philippi? Chain him to Roman guards and he'll preach the gospel to them, to where he wrote in the book of Philippians. He said, many at the house of Caesar have been saved. Why? You couldn't get him down. You couldn't defeat this man. Why? Because he was more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. And you and I can be too. We have the same resources. And Paul's saying, I want you to understand. I want you to know. I want you to know some things. Know what God has done for you. Know what God has done. Know what God has left you. So many folks, just as a Christian, and I'm not minimizing this, it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian and to know that you have a home reserved for you in heaven, but brethren, that's not it. There's so much more. Every day of our life, there are resources that we can draw from. There's a power. You know, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. The thing that you and I need, the thing that our church needs, the thing that Christians need is power. And can I tell you, God has given it. We just need to tap into it. God has given it. We just need to tap into it. So he said, this is my prayer for you. I want you to know some things. Now, how are you going to know some things? You're going to have to read and study. You've got to spend some time in this book. I challenged my Sunday school class, and I'll challenge you. If you read 10 chapters a day, if you started Monday, and I'd ask them to start Monday, you read 10 chapters a day, you can read the entire New Testament by the end of the month. I didn't say the end of the year, the end of the month. There's 260 chapters in the New Testament. I think we've gotten around, you know, we're this generation of just a little talk with Jesus. Can I tell you what the generation before us was? Sweet hour of prayer. So we've gone from sweet hour of prayer to just a little talk with Jesus, reading 10, 15, 20 chapters of the Bible to a verse a day, a chapter a day. And then we wonder why we're weak and anemic and we have no power and our prayers are not answered. I'll tell you why. Because we've dumbed down in this thing as far as the spiritual realm. And God is not pleased. But see, it's still available now. I'm not, I'm not throwing you under the bus, or I'm preaching to you that there's something good out there for us. We need to tap into it. There's something out there for us. And so I just believe when a person gets sick and tired enough of something, they'll make some change. I just believe that. Right? And so he said, I'm praying for you. And he said, I'm praying, look at chapter 1, and if you'll look back in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He said, and that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. He said, you need to know some things. And then we said this, okay? And I hope you underlined it. There's three what's. What is the hope of his calling? What is the riches of his glory? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? All right? Now we're going to come back to that one. But we looked into that into detail, and I'm not going to re-preach it. So now we go to chapter 3. And I like what Paul does here. As a matter of fact, I'm asking God to help me do more of this. All right? And if God lays it on your heart, you ask God to help you do more of it. I'm going to go to the pulpit here, lapel mic. All right, so in chapter 3, Paul says in verse number 14, for this cause I bow my knees. You see that, chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees. All right? Now, what's Paul done? He's taught a little, now he's going to pray a little. And then he's taught a little, and now he's going to pray a little. See, some people separate the two. But the more I study the Bible, the more I understand, they go together. You can't separate the Word of God and prayer. They go together. And so I think it do us good not to try to separate study and reading from prayer. There needs to be, you know, you study, you read a little bit, then you stop and pray and say, now God, I didn't know that. I haven't been doing that, Lord. I just seen that in your Word today. God, would you help me to do that? And then get to reading some more. Amen? Or you may be reading and God just lay something on your heart and say, you know, Lord, I know this situation. I want to pray for this person. And you pray for that individual or that situation. Then you begin to read or you begin to study some more. See, that's what Paul did. He wrote in chapter 1, and then he, down toward the end of chapter 1, he prayed for them. He said, I'm going to pray for you. And now what he done? Look back now. So you'll see that's exactly what he did. He opened up the letter and he began to teach them. And he taught them there's some great doctrinal truths in chapter 1 down through verse number 14. And then in verse number 15, he said, wherefore, of chapter 1, verse 15, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And he began to talk about his prayers for them. And began to pray for them. And then he began in chapter 2 to teach them some more things about their life before Christ and what it means to be saved. We're saved by grace because God had mercy on us. That's what chapter 2 is about. And then he gets over in chapter 3 after he's taught them some things about being saved by grace and the mercy of God and how that's nothing that we've worked for, certainly nothing we deserve. Amen. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, he wrote in chapter 2. And then you get here to chapter 3. Look what he said in verse number 14. For this cause. All right? Because of what God has done for us, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now I'm going to read this prayer to you, and then I'm going to give you a few thoughts, and I'll be through for tonight. We're going to spend some time in this prayer in Ephesians 3. Verse 16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now I'm going to stop right there because it's hard for me to read that and not, and just, you know, that just kind of floods your soul. I don't know that there's a higher position in all of life than what I just read to you in that last phrase. To be filled with all the fullness of God. Now you think about that for a moment.
You think about that. To be filled with all the fullness of God. See, that's the goal, brethren. That's the goal right there. To be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the goal. So see, that's where it culminates. It's leading up. And he said, it's like stair steps. You know, you take that first, and I'll show you what I'm talking about here in just a moment, but let's finish up in verse number 20. Now unto him, he just kind of breaks forth in praise. You know, after he gets to thinking about being filled with all the fullness of God, he just begins to praise him. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. What a prayer. What a prayer. What are you saying, Paul? Remember that first prayer, what he was saying? He said that you may know some things. Look at what he's asking here. He said, I'm going to pray for you. And this one I'm going to pray, that you'll take what you know that I prayed for in chapter 1 for you, and that you will allow that you would be something. See, God didn't save us just to know some things. God saved us to be something. Are you listening? Knowledge in itself is not good, brethren. Knowledge in itself puffeth up. There's a lot of fighting and wars and rumors of wars and divisions and nation against nation. And knowledge does that. And greed. But when you take knowledge and you apply it, and you begin to make knowledge an action, it will make you become something. Notice what the Apostle Paul said here. He said, I'm praying for you, and I'll get into this in detail. And he said, this is what I'm praying, and I want you to underline the word THAT, that, four times. Now, this in there more than four times, but these four times, because here's the stair steps. He said, the first thing I'm praying for you is this. Look at it in verse number 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now see, God's not concerned necessarily about your physical strength. Now you might think that there's some people that are, maybe there's some people that are, but God's concerned about your spiritual strength. God wants you to be strong spiritually. You say, well, I can bench whatever. Well, that there's nothing wrong with that now. There's nothing wrong with being physically fit. God wants us to take care of our bodies. But God wants you to be spiritually fit too. He wants you to be strong spiritually. So here's the first step. In order to be filled with all the fullness of God, God's going to have to get involved. And Paul said, I'm praying that, here's the first one, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to what? What's that next word? Be. To be. See, God wants you to be something. See, in the first prayer, God wants you to know something. You understand that, right? I can't tell you how important this is. Because there's a lot of people who think, well, oh, I know that. Okay, well, what are you doing with it? Right? What are you doing with what you know? What am I doing with what I know? See, I'm going to be held accountable. Now I know. The Bible says it'd be better not to know than to know and not do. Now you're going to be held accountable. Because now you know. And so he said, I'm praying that you will be, not know. That's the first prayer in chapter 1. He said, I'm praying that you will be what? You'll be strengthened in the inner man, the spirit man. Look at the next step in verse 17. That, underline that word. Here's the second petition. This is the second step. The first step is you would have the strength of the Holy Spirit activated in your life. By the way, when Jesus got ready to go to heaven, to ascend into heaven in Acts chapter 1, that Pentecostal prayer, listen, you know what he said? He said that you shall receive wisdom. That's not what he said. There's a lot of people wanting wisdom. But you shall receive knowledge. That's not what he said. You shall receive grace. That's not what he said. So I want to be more merciful to people. You shall receive merciful. No, he said you shall receive power. See, that's where it begins and that's where it ends. That's where it begins and that's where it ends. And that's why before he ascended, he said, ye shall receive power. You'll never live a life that's glorifying and honoring to God. I'll never live a life like that without the power of God resonating in my bosom. Never. Can't live this Christian life without the power of God now, brethren. The energy of the flesh is not good enough. And I think every one of us in here tonight understand that. We've all lived a life at times in our Christian experience in the energy of the flesh, and it just doesn't bring lasting joy. It just doesn't. And so he said, power. Look at the second thing, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, who's he writing to? Ephesians 1:1. The saints. So he's not talking about that they would get saved. They're already saved. This is, he said, he's not saying that Christ would come into your hearts by faith. He said that he may dwell there. Interesting word. We've been talking in our Sunday school class about abiding. And this word is that Christ may feel at home. You know how when someone back in the, I can remember back when I would stay with my grandmother a lot, this would be a welcome. When someone would walk up on the porch, they'd say, come on up and sit a spell. You know, just stay a while. Make yourself at home was kind of a greeting that was given to friends and neighbors. Make yourself at home. And that is what Paul was saying here. He said, I'm praying for you now. And this is what I'm praying, that you will be strengthened by the Holy Spirit and that Christ could make himself at home in your heart. What about it? What's going on in there? You see, when there's things going on that shouldn't be, Christ can't feel at home in your heart. He can't. You ever been around someone that's using profanity, vulgarity, and it makes you feel uncomfortable? Could you imagine how the Son of God feels at some of the thoughts and things that we think and do? Paul said, I'm praying for you now that Christ could feel at home in your heart, that he may dwell in your heart. That's the second thing. Now look, if you would, next in verse 17, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. That's the third thing. See, the only way you're really going to understand how much God loves you is you're going to have to get rooted and grounded. There's a lot of Christians running around and they think that God is angry at them and God is out to get them. If you have that mindset, you're not rooted and grounded. And so Paul said, I'm praying for you. And I'm praying, number one, that you'd be strengthened on the inner man by the Spirit of God. Number two, I'm praying that Christ may feel at home in your heart. And number three, I'm praying that you'd be rooted and grounded in the love of God to realize, notice what he said now, that you may be able, in verse 18, to comprehend, there's that word be again, that you might be able, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Isn't that something? And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Paul said, I'm praying that for you. And here's the final that, and I'll be through. Verse 19. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, those are stair steps. You start out with the Spirit of God, allowing Him the freedom and liberty to work in your life. If the Spirit of God touches something in your life, get rid of it. If the Spirit of God tells you to do something, do it. If He tells you to stop something, stop it. You have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And then Christ can dwell in your heart. He can feel at home in your heart because of our obedience to the Holy Spirit. And then we can just bask in the love of God. We will be rooted and grounded, and we will be able to comprehend with the saints that we're able to get in that place. Brethren, I'm telling you, there's a place in God that many Christians never make it to. I'm not talking about a second working of grace. I'm talking about a place in God where the obedient child of God lives and the victorious Christian walks. Now, it's available. And you don't, listen, it's not for sale. Then the experience of being filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that what he said? See, but it all begins with that first step. Now, we'll talk about this in the weeks to come. I want you to pray for me. And I want you to pray. Prayer is where it's at. It's where it's at. And so I want you to come on Wednesday night, and I want you to bring your Bible and be alert. And I realize we work all day. Listen, I understand some of you work 10, 12 hours a day, and you don't even eat. You come straight here. And that's why I'm asking you to pray that God would help you to be alert. I realize you're tired. I realize that. And there'll be times I'll get up here and I'll be tired and my mind will be fatigued and worn. And you'll just pray, God, give that man clarity. Give our pastor clarity that he can speak what you've spoken to him. All right? And we'll learn some things that God wants for us so that the ultimate experience can come about in our lives, and that is that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. It's real, brethren. It's real. I'm not talking about some kind of emotional experience. I'm talking about a life of victory, a life of joy, unspeakable and full of glory. It's real. Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to ask you to stand. You've been sitting for a while. And then we're going to close our service with a season of prayer by a few men that I am going to call on to come and pray. Let's bow our heads and we'll have a word of prayer together. I want to assure you that what I preach to you tonight is the Bible. It's available. It's available to you. You say, well, I'm not the best Christian, Pastor. I didn't say it's available to the best Christian. I said it's available to you. If you're willing to be obedient to the Word of God, to the Holy Spirit, God will lead you step by step to the place of victory, to the place of filling, to the place of walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit. That's the place that I desire to be, and I believe that's the place you desire to be. Father, would you help us? Would you help us to not only to be hearers of thy word only, but to be doers of thy word? God, I pray that you would just take some of the things that we've looked at even this evening and you would impress them upon our hearts in such a way that we would be compelled to consider them. I pray, Lord, for this congregation, this body of believers, that you would help us as we study your word. You would increase our faith, and you would bring us into obedience to the truth of your word. God, I humble myself under the teaching of your word, and I bring myself into submission unto you, because I desire your will above all things in my life. Teach me to know your way, to follow your truth, and to be obedient to your word and the voice of your Holy Spirit. Teach your people here in this congregation to do the same. Help us to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. And we will thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be